Welcome to The Practical Intuitive. We're each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're live in Seattle, Washington, 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon. So my show and my work are about helping you help yourself to love yourself and tap your natural, intuitive, and healing abilities. And I like to share thoughts on the show, my thoughts, other people's thoughts, bring on thought-provoking people, because I know the things that we have to think about in the world are quite different from the usual talk radio audience. And that's what the Om Times community is all about. Things like what I've talked about in the past, conversations with Mount St. Helens, conversations with hurricanes, and what they're all about. And today I want to go to something really that affects all of us, and that's how we handle grief. And grief matters because love matters. And a lot of people look at grief, and it is tough, I know. I've grieved since I was 9, and my brother suddenly died. But here's the thing that we all need to keep in mind. Love is not for the faint of heart. And if you're grieving, just know that you're among the bravest, most beautiful people out there, because you've put your heart on the line, and that's how we grow our souls. So we're going to get into this subject today. I invite you to call in to share your thoughts, talk about what you're grieving about, how you've resolved that, or how you're looking at resolving that. And I'm also open for anyone who wants to call in for a brief intuitive and healing reading. That's 202-570-7057, or you can email me during the week at robin@robinfritz.com, and that's robynfritz.com. So as we leap into the show here, I am an intuitive and spiritual consultant and a certified past life regression specialist. One of the things I do is work with people in dying and transition, both humans and animals. So as we hold that thought of grief support in our minds, let's leap into a brief meditation with the crystal phallon, the citrine Lemurian quartz. So imagine phallon is in the shape of a crystal ball. He's quartz, Lemurian quartz, which is mythology says is from ancient Lemurian Atlantis, and citrine is makes it even more rare, because it's citrine element to quartz offers abundance, heart work, and stability and strength. So you'll experience phallon however your intuition works strongest, seeing, hearing, feeling, or knowing. So just sit back in your chair if you can. Don't do this while you're driving, please. But take your attention to the top of your head and just breathe in, mind, body, and spirit more tightly together. And as we go down your body, just allow your energy to clear and the cares of the day to wash away. So starting at the top of your head, breathe down your face, your neck, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. Top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And now as you take a deep breath and just feel yourself getting more balanced and getting more settled in your chair. Imagine falling as a gold light outside your body there at the bottom of your feet. And just as he moves up outside your body, just welcome that gold healing energy straight to your heart. And with each beat of your heart, just let it flood your system with warm, supportive energy. Moving up from your feet, touch your knees, your hips, your solar plexus, your heart, your shoulders, your throat, which is communication, your face, your third eye, and your crown chakra, top of your head. Most often, people's crown chakras are wide open when they're working with us, and so you might have a little bit of dizziness there. And as you take a deep breath, just realize that this healthy, positive energy is with us throughout the show. So I want to go in again and talk about the concept of grief and love and what we're doing anyway. And I have experienced grief all my life. I was only 9, I said, when I lost my brother suddenly. And it just seems that that's been a theme throughout my life. And I remember hearing of and meeting people who hadn't lost anyone or anything until they were well into middle age. And it's shocking to me. It's like, oh my gosh. Well, in many ways, they're very lucky, right? Because losing someone you love, losing something you love, like all of the people in the United States and in the Caribbean who've lost their homes and their livelihoods in recent weeks with storm effects. Grief is a real thing, and there are a lot of ways of dealing with it and a lot of ways of looking at it. But as I said, love is not for the faint of heart. And really, that's a tough one because we're born here. We take our bodies to grow our souls. And that aspect of growing our souls means that we're here to learn to love. We're here to learn to love ourselves and those that we welcome into our life, whether they're human or animals. And so we're talking about grief today. We can draw it down to the loss of those people or animals that we, or both, that we've loved in our lives, and take a look at what that does for us and to us. I know a lot of people who are stuck in grief and never really got beyond that. And the first people I think of are my parents, who had less than a week to prepare themselves for the death of my 14-year-old brother from leukemia. And in those days, it was just unheard of. I mean, these people were born in depression. They fought a world war. They came home and they got married and they started businesses, or they went to work for someone, and they saved the world. So they weren't supposed to lose their children. And of course, you're never supposed to lose your children, but it happens. But they never really got past the grief of that. They didn't get past the emotional block that grief brings on. And I watched this from an early age, and in some ways it's ironic that I deal with this so much now in my business. So I'd have to say the biggest thing is that grief matters. And I know a lot of people are afraid of grief, or they don't work through the process of grief. But it reminds us ultimately that we loved and are loved. And it's what death looks like in our lives, which means that grief is good. The question is, how do we look at it? How do we deal with it? I get emails all the time from people who have lost animals and loved ones, and they can't imagine how they can go on. And I totally get that. My soulmates, as an adult, have been animals. And those of us who welcome animals into our lives as family members know that loss is pretty inevitable. I mean, they just don't live as long as we do. So So how do we deal with that? How do we look at that? And how do we support ourselves and others in the process of grief? Because you choose to love. You choose to bring people and animals into your life and into your home and whatever that looks like in your life. When you create families with other people and beings, you fall in love, and that is a great thing, and that's really why we're here. I know my dad approached me and asked me to work with the dead. I was like, wow, I don't want to be a medium. I mean, like, what I'd seen of mediumship didn't appeal to me at all until I realized that you could have a real conversation with a dead person, that you could get past proving to your client that their dead were still there and actually find out what's going on in the afterlife and what they thought about their lives and where they're going next. And this has become a big theme in my work as a past life regression specialist and looking at where souls really fit into the picture. I mean, we're so busy in our daily lives, earning a living, cleaning house, trying to have time to play, that we forget that we're souls having experiences and that we chose these bodies to have experiences. And that the number one experience we're supposed to have is to love and be loved. And sometimes it's just us. And in fact, the first and most important thing is to love yourself. And that's the biggest problem I found with the dead that I worked with, that they didn't love themselves. And that lack of love for themselves led to a lack of confidence and an inability to actually make it to the afterlife. We'll talk about grief after.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
This segment of The Practical Intuitive is brought to you by Terry Kent of AmberstonePets.com. Years ago, Terry struggled with fleas and ticks on her four dogs but ruled out pesticides. Then she heard about raw Baltic amber. A fossilized tree resin, raw Baltic amber, has been used for years in Europe to protect cats and dogs from fleas and ticks. Terry founded AmberstonePets.com 8 years ago to offer safe, organic, and beautiful pet collars that naturally repel fleas and ticks. How? The amber's aromatic properties are released into the pet's coat and spread by body oils from friction and body heat. The collars are available in several styles for cats and dogs, from kittens and puppies to giant breeds. Visit AmberstonePets.com, choose raw Baltic amber collars for your pets, and enter Om Times at checkout for free shipping. Order today at AmberstonePets.com.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom! Everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America and all your problems are done, they don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're live in Seattle, Washington. If you would like a brief reading or to chime in on this conversation of grief support, please call 202-570-7057 or email me during the week. And this is not a subject that's going to go away. Email me at robynfritz.com, robynfritz.com. And I'd like to take a moment and add to the ad Terry Kent for AmberstonePets.com, because Terry has created this fabulous new product for Ohm Times readers. And it's a combination of raw Baltic amber, quartz crystals, and turquoise. And she's created bracelets and necklaces or anklets for people who are suffering from pain, because raw Baltic amber has been used for eons for pain relief for anti-inflammatory purposes. And we teamed up and I talked about adding a piece of quartz to the amber. Quartz amplifies energy, so it could help boost the power of the raw Baltic amber. But quartz is also real clearing, and turquoise is good for grounding and balance. And it's a wonderful product. So check it out at Terry's website, AmberstonePets.com. And she's got beautiful pictures up of the new pendants and bracelets that she has. So let's go back to the subject of grief and grief support. I lost my dog, Alki, in 2014. It was a horrible year for both of us. And I watched him die of heart disease over 10 months. And he's back now in a new body. He's my Cavalier Ollie, who's 2 years old. But Alki and I were very, very close. Cavalier boys are very, very devoted to people. And their person, I should say. They pick a person and they stick to it. And I love that little guy. He was just such a sweet little boy. And after he died, we were talking, and I was, of course, grieving because I could never prepare him for dying. He just would not accept dying. He was not going to die and leave me. And but his body failed. And he said something that was really remarkable to me at the time and still brings tears to my eyes. But for all of you who are grieving, listen to this, because it applies to you too. If you love someone, you lost someone, a human or animal. He said, because we loved each other, there is more love in the world. Wow, what a profound comment, right? From a very advanced soul. This soul takes animal bodies. Sometimes I wonder why. They just leap into them. They don't spend that long in them, and then they're gone again. But because we loved each other, there is more love in the world. And that's really a true thing. And as I said before, when we choose to come into the world, when we incarnate in bodies, we are choosing to experience the process of love. And it's scary. And we sometimes block ourselves on that. And we think, well, we personally are not worthy of being loved, or we're not good enough to love, or we made a mistake and we shouldn't love. And I can't tell you how many emails and calls I get from people who are beating themselves up because they don't think they did the right thing when their loved one was dying. And you know what? You loved them. And that was the right thing. And everything else is secondary. Everything else is something that we learn from. They said to a family member when my mom was dying 10 months after my dad, and she was going in and out of the hospital with heart issues. And I said, you need to figure out how to deal with this and to do everything you need to do now so you don't regret it later after she's gone. And that's one thing that sometimes we don't get a chance to do. Sometimes we get that fatal phone call. A loved one has died in a car accident or suddenly somewhere on vacation or whatever. And we hear about it all the time. And we didn't get to have that last little conversation with them. We didn't get to say goodbye and hold their hand as they were dying. I wasn't there when my mom died. I was there when my dad died. But here's one thing we can always do, you know, as soon as you hear that someone has died, someone you loved has died, someone you knew has died, even a casual acquaintance, address them. Say, hey, Pete, you died. I hear you just died. I am so sorry. I'm going to miss you. I loved you. You were my friend. You were my mom, dad, or whatever you were, or an animal. I love you. You're gone. It's okay. Rest up and get on to the afterlife. Don't hang around. Just go ahead and go to the afterlife. It's okay. And give yourself and them that opportunity to say goodbye right there, because that will help you in recovering from grief. And it will help the dead, too, because very often they're like, what the heck just happened here? They're not always aware that they died, or they're not very happy about dying. And that can block them, and that can keep them from moving forward. And self-doubt, it's, did I do the right thing when I was alive? Did, you know, look at that mistake that I made. And, you know, that's what we're here for, too, is to learn from our mistakes. And that's how we grow our souls. So a terrible thing happened. Somebody you love died. And then what? Okay? So then what? I know a lot of people who have lost humans, and they're stuck in their grief, and it's okay. You know, we bought into this myth that there are, what, 5 stages of grief, and, you know, you go through them A, B, C, D, E, and that's not true. You go through grief however you go through grief. I mean, there's no set way of doing it. The one thing that you need to keep in mind first is, again, that you love someone and now they're gone. But you get to choose how you face the darkness of grief. And grief is darkness. You know, I call it embracing the darkness. Embracing the fact that you get now to grieve. You get to do that. It's your right, and it's almost your responsibility to grieve. To let those feelings out, to feel them, to experience them, to remember your loved one, to say, oh, gosh, I wish I'd said something different, and know that it's okay, because ultimately it was love that kept you moving forward. So when you're choosing to face darkness, you can say, well, this terrible thing happened to me. I lost my beloved. I lost my beloved. It's not okay. It's never going to be okay. But I'm okay, and I will be okay. And keeping those thoughts in mind helps you move through all of the different things that come up. The guilt, the questioning, the second doubts, the terrible missing them, and the realization that you're walking across the room one day and, oh, wait, they're not here. They haven't been here for 6 months now, and it still feels like yesterday. And that's the reality of grief, but it's also the reality of saying, it's not okay, but I'm okay. I will be okay. I am going to be okay. And using that as a gauge for yourself, because no one can really tell you how to grieve or what you should or shouldn't be doing. And that's a big problem that people have who have lost animals and have friends and family members who think that, you know, losing a loved one as an animal is just not as important as losing a human. And we all know that isn't true, because when you choose to love, you're choosing to love a soul, and the soul just takes a body, and it's whatever the body looks like. It's not a sentence. It's a gift. It's a gift to that soul for the body that they took, and it's a gift to you to be able to love it and for them to love you back. Remember what my dog Alki said? Because we loved each other, there is more love in the world. Hang on to that. If you can't hang on to anything else, if the grief is so overwhelming, there's more love in the world because you chose to love. And remember how brave you are in having loved in the first place, knowing that if you loved a human, there's a possibility you're going to lose them. But if you love an animal, it's practically inevitable. And people get mad at me because I say, hey, you know, you love an animal, you're going to watch him get old, you're going to walk that final road with them. And they said, don't say that or I'll never want to get an animal. Well, maybe I'm a realist because it will happen. If you're lucky enough for an animal to get old, it will happen. I was looking at my 2-year-old rambunctious boy the other day and thinking, wow, what is he going to look like in 10 years? What will that be like? So once a soul takes a body, you know it's going to die. That's just the way it is. But our bodies are our bodies, and they're a way to explore and grow that soul and that experience, right? So here we are in our human bodies and our animals in their animal bodies, and love looks beyond the body to the soul itself. So my first Cavalier, Murphy, who died on March 8th, 2012, said to me many times while she was alive and many times since that we are not our bodies. And boy, she knew it as well as anyone, more than anyone, because she's such an advanced soul. But she thanked me once. She said, thank you for the deep soul work that you do that helps them see us. And I went, helps who see you? Helps people see animals as souls and as parts of our family, and hearts, the heart of our family, as we are their hearts as well. So in my practice, I work with people with dying animals, and I see it, and I write about it, and I talk about it. And the truth is, they may be animals to people who can't see beyond the bodies, who can't see the intelligence, the rights, and the choices that the soul has made in that bodies. And so some people will devalue the animals and the people who love them. More about that. Come back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium, Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exists within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. And today we're talking about grief support. How we handle grief and the loss of a loved one, human or animal. So there's a wonderful writer named Pete Dexter, and he loved his dogs. And I saw an article where he was writing about, he was getting ready. In the next few minutes, they were going to euthanize his beloved old dog. And he wrote, all there is to say about the next 10 minutes if there is something more to the story than the end of a dog, it is that what you do when there's nothing you can do can matter for a very long time. what you do when there's nothing you can do can matter for a very long time. And I found those are very profound words from a really great writer and a guy who wore his heart on his sleeve there, for sure. But it is true. I hear a lot from people who feel guilty. They feel guilty because they couldn't help their loved human survive cancer or the results of a car accident or didn't say I love you and they dropped dead of a heart attack 10 minutes later, you know. We regret the things that we didn't do or that we feel like we didn't do enough. And the biggest issue that a lot of animal lovers regret is euthanasia. And I've had to resort to euthanasia, and I've thought a lot about it. I had 6 weeks to prepare for Murphy's death from cancer. And we get to make that choice for our animals, with our animals, where we can't help our humans with that. And that's something that society is going to need to deal with at some point. But here's the thing. If you didn't feel guilty or worry about making the wrong choice when you made that choice, then you're not getting it, because what you did when you let them go, when you honor their choice to go now and euthanize them, is a tremendous act of love, and it shows in your hesitance about it, it shows that you recognize that. You recognize love. You recognize the responsibility to support other lives, and you took that responsibility seriously, and you honored it. And there's nothing greater in the world, really, than honoring choice and loving the beings that we're with and honoring their choice. It's not easy. These days, they're fairly advanced hospice and all kinds of processes for humans, including death doulas or death midwives and all kinds of ways to celebrate our loved ones. And there is an emerging business of hospice for animals. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I have pulled away from some of that because, to me, hospice is supporting the dying one. And it seemed to be more supporting the humans and prolonging the death of an animal for the human's sake and not for the animals. And my position there is, as the animal communicator, is an advocate for the animal to tell you what they're thinking and what they want. Some want to go, some don't want to go. Some, like Alki, my beloved boy, wouldn't go until his heart failed and couldn't go on any longer. So let the guilt go. Recognize it and let it go. It's part of grief. It is part of the grieving process. But it's also part of our learning up process, where we went, okay, I second-guessed myself on this, just like we do on our dinner subjects, okay? What am I making for dinner tonight? We second-guess ourselves on everything, but never second-guess yourself on love. Never second-guess your complete commitment to loving those you have chosen to bring into your life and have chosen to be part of their life. That is an amazing thing. It makes a world that is sometimes very tough worth being here for, and it helps, again, as I said, it helps expand the world. Love expands the world, and it's open to love and choice, and it's the best thing that you can do and the best thing that you could do in that moment, and that's what you hang on to, and then you move on from there. And I know this personally, too. Many, many years ago, I euthanized my beloved English Cocker Spaniel, Maggie. I was just in despair. I didn't know what to do. I didn't ask her. Didn't even think to ask her. She was sick and she needed to go, but she wasn't ready, as I found out years later. And I learned from that. I learned that, and that's part of what my practice is. Are you ready for it? Is your animal ready for it? What are they telling you? And so many people say, well, I'm not an animal communicator. But when they start to talk about what's happening and what's going on with that animal, they know. They know. And part of the reason they come to me is to be able to say it out loud and then to have the animal go, yeah, I know you know. And sometimes, you know, they want to die naturally. And that's their choice, and that's our blessing to honor their choice. But it isn't always easy. So there's that about dogs and cats and all of the animals that we love. But what about the humans? And we go over and over loving our humans, right? And gosh, losing people is devastating. I know it started really young for me, and I lost my parents 10 months apart. It's devastating, and we feel guilty again, things that we did or didn't say, and it takes time. Grief has its own timetable, and your grief has its own timetable. So don't let anyone else tell you what that timetable should look like. It's your grief. It's not theirs. You may have other family members to support you, and that's fine. And you may have other family members to support. You may be the spouse supporting another spouse, or you may be a mother or father supporting your children. Of course, you have to pay attention to their needs. But don't get lost in their needs, because you need to find time for yourself to grieve. And I watched this as a 9-year-old kid in my family. I watched my parents never, ever be able to get past their grief. And nowadays, there are people supporting that. So for goodness sakes, find people who support you in that. You can hire people like me who are intuitive. You can hire psychotherapists. You can bring in social work. You can bring in everybody, clergy and ministers, if that's what you want. The death doulas, the death midwives. You can bring in anybody you want, because you get to choose, right? So obviously, if you're in a position where somebody else is making the choice in the family, all you can do is express your opinion and go from there. But you still get to manage your own grief. You still get to grieve however you choose to grieve. And that doesn't look like A, B, C, D, E. It looks like what you choose it to look like. So I tell parents to tell the siblings of dying children or dead children, it's not your fault. Please tell your children that it's not their fault their brother or sister died. Because I lived with that guilt for 20 years. And I found out when I started volunteering for a local group here, I found out that's a pretty common thing that siblings go through. Something that they did it. Something they did wrong made their brother or sister die. It's horrifying as a parent to realize your kids are thinking that. So pay attention if you're a parent. Talk to them. Get other people to talk to them. Get them to professionals. There's a lot of support out there. And pay attention to how other adults are reacting to your kids, because sometimes that's not good. Is sometimes they're putting their guilt and their grief on the kids, and they've got enough of their own. And find comfort where you can. And that means, you know, having a fun family night. And do things in moderation. You know, don't just suddenly decide to sell your house and run off to Indonesia. I'm sitting here because I'm looking at Indonesia on the map. You know, just take your time. It's okay to take your time. And take time off. Do whatever works for you. So then what? So I'll tell you one thing is, for goodness sake, one of the best things that you can do for yourself and for your loved ones is to throw a spectacular, awesome, amazing, fabulous funeral for your loved ones. I'm not saying spend billions of dollars. I'm saying throw a spectacular funeral, because I guarantee you they're coming back and they're watching. I've had dead people tell me, well, I came back to my funeral because I wanted to see which of my friends really liked me, which one of my friends wanted to come back and celebrate my funeral. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, am I going to tell this to my client? I was, like, taking notes on which of my friends were there at my funeral. Like, okay, that's just plain hilarious, right, even in the midst of grief. So sometimes I have to stop myself from laughing at the people who were taking notes at the funeral. But I do know that a funeral is an amazing way to put an end to a relationship. I mean, you get to say goodbye in public. The other people get to say goodbye. And it's a closure, and it's a really important closure. And I get annoyed with the people who say, I don't want a funeral. Okay, maybe you don't want a funeral for yourself, but it's for the other people, too. And sometimes people need to have those kinds of situations to be able to close out that relationship. So, yes, throw a spectacular funeral. Honor them on the anniversary of their death, however that seems to work for you. I do that. I remember the days that I lost all my loved ones. And I celebrate them, right? So I'll have a piece of chocolate cake on the anniversary of my mom's death, because chocolate cake and caramel frosting were a big thing in my family, and she made them for us. So I think about her on those days. And what is it about the funeral, you know, that's going to move you? What are you going to do for that, you know? How does it look to you, and who are you going to include? For better or for worse, because of the work that I do, a lot of my life is lived publicly, you know, on my blog and my website and here on the show and wherever else I am, Facebook Live, and other people, because of the work that I do. We'll be back in a few minutes to wrap up.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food, because 40% of all food in the U.S. never gets eaten. Save the food. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're wrapping up the show today talking about grief and supporting ourselves and our loved ones through the grieving process. So when you're in that grief, make sure to find some support. And I mentioned this earlier, but and not just professional support, build a community of friends and family and people who get it. And this was really brought home again to me recently. I've lost a lot of humans, but I've lost a lot of I've done what I could for them. I've been there, supported them, and I, while still remembering that not one of those people offered me a bit of support in the loss of my three animals over the last 5 years. Not one of them. And that's the way it is sometimes. But there are people who love animals who are there and who are offering support for that. So if you're a person who's lost an animal, and I've had several emails from people on that, if you lost an animal and you're feeling alone, you are not alone. There are a lot of us out there who are grieving and suffering the loss. And 5 years ago, I wrote a series of blog articles about losing Murphy, and it's up in the new book. It's called My Dog is Dying, The Real Life Crappy Choice Diary. And one of the articles I wrote was a summary of what hemangiosarcoma is, this blood disease, this blood cancer, and what I went through and deciding ultimately to not operate because Murphy didn't want to operate. She thought she would die sooner if she did. The vet was supporting me on that. And the thing with hemangiosarcoma. Lost in that grief over our animals, get lost in the grief over the loss of our human loved ones. And we need to allow ourselves to grieve, but we also need to keep moving forward. Because our dead are moving forward, and we know we are moving forward. Our dead are not always with us, like some mediums say. I would never say that to anybody, because not. They're off doing all kinds of things. Drinking Mai Tais in Hawaii is one big thing. Walking alone on alien planets is another thing. And Murphy came my first birthday after she died and took me on a tour of the universe. They're doing amazing things in the afterlife, and so let them do that. I have a webinar coming up here on Thursday where we're going to be talking about how to resolve grief and connect with our dead. And I'll be talking about rituals, and we'll be doing a meditation to connect with our dead, and we'll be talking about what the dead experience in as they die and in the afterlife. So you have a good idea of what's going on and you're preparing yourself, but here's the thing. Remember that you did love them and that love matters. Remember what I said at the beginning? Because we loved each other, my dog Alfred said to me, there is more love in the world. And that's the big thing. You loved and again, as I said at the beginning of the hour, love is not for the faint of heart. Neither is life for that matter. But take heart from your grief because you love, and that makes you brave and beautiful, and it means that you're moving forward on growing your soul, and you're helping your loved one who's died grow their soul too, because it continues after death. So you're taking soul growth seriously. And you're doing the most important thing out there. You're loving yourself, your families, and that love, I guarantee you, that love is filling the world with healthy, positive energy. And there can never be enough of that. So you took your mission in life seriously by loving and letting them go when they die and celebrating them again with that spectacular funeral I was telling you about. What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to, what do you, celebrate their life, pictures, dance, whatever it is, tell jokes. I remember laughing at both my parents' funerals because somebody said something that reminded me of something, and we laughed together. But here's the thing. I didn't ever think I would survive the loss of my beloved soulmate, Murphy. Even though I was knew for 6 weeks she was dying, I was like, oh my God, I just didn't know how I was going to survive that. And a few people did call and they said, do you want us to come to the funeral? And I said, thanks, but no thanks. It's just going to be us. So it was just me and Alki and Grace the cat, a human, a dog, and a cat. And I decided to do a space clearing and I opened up all the windows and the doors. And I turned on this bouncy music that Murphy and I would dance to occasionally. And I turned that on so high that you could hear it probably all the way down the street here. And as I started to dance, which I didn't think I could do, celebrating the death of my dog and celebrating her funeral, all of a sudden she came back and she started dancing with me. And I could see her bouncing around and she's kicking up her heels, her hind legs, and dancing. And she goes, "My funeral is fun." So trust me, funerals are important. They're important for you and they're important for your loved ones. I never thought I'd laugh at Murphy's funeral. But it was awesome and very characteristic of this loving little soul. So whoever you've lost and however you've lost them, remember that it matters and that grief does, well, shall we say grief resolves over time? You're always going to miss them. And I got teary just preparing for today's show. But there comes a point when you remember them and you smile and you know that, wow, it's great. So one last thing on that before we close for the day is, make a deal with them about how you want to continue to honor them. Murphy wanted me to bury her ashes, and I said I'd bury her ashes on the first nice day of spring. So every spring we walked down the street. I walked down the street, and last year I had another dog walking with me, Ollie, the puppy. And I thought, wow, it's the first nice day of spring, because you just know when the first nice day of spring is. And Murphy popped in and she said, "You promised to bury me on the first nice day of spring." And I laughed and I said, "Yes, I did, but I didn't say what year." And so I keep my ashes of my kids with me. For a long time, they sat on the table in the living room, and people who came to dinner had to stare at them. Now they're here with me in my office, and it works. So do what works for you. Do what helps you get through the grief. And please consider joining me on my webinar on Thursday, September 21st at 11 Pacific time. You can go to the Om Times Experts platform, experts.omtimes.com/RobynFritz, RobynFritz. It's called Resolving Grief and Connect with Your Dead. 11 o'clock on Thursday, September 21st. We're going to talk in depth about more ways of dealing with grief, what happens in the afterlife, why it happens, and we're going to get into some real more specific tips on dealing with grief, and that's just one of the many things that are coming up. So as we end for today, I want to also invite you to take a look at the Learn It Live platform. I have 16 webinars up. I have 4 coming up in October. A talk on October 5th about what the truth is about Lemuria and Atlantis. October 11th, Animals, the Afterlife and Reincarnation, because we create families with animals, they die, and sometimes they come back. October 12th, Working and Healing with Crystals, and October 19th, Clearing Ourselves and Our Spaces. So a heavy month of really getting the nitty-gritty in our lives and dealing with what's coming up. But I thank you for joining me today. Please email questions for the show at robynfritz.com, robyn@robynfritz.com. And also know that I'm available to help you with intuitive and personal and business consultations. We do those at 15, 30, and 60 minutes. You can buy an hour and use it up in 15-minute increments. I have a lot of clients that do that. Animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression and between life regression, and wow, do you see how souls move then and how your soul has moved? It's fascinating. And you can also tap skills and knowledge from previous lifetimes and bring it forward and use it now. So that's tremendous. Spiritual journeys, spiritual awakening, soul clearing, soul progression clearing. If you're stuck on something, we can clear it out. And energy healing, of course, is included in that. So as we end today, I'd like to thank my sponsor, Terry Kent, for being here with AmberStonePets.com. My dog wears her collar and hasn't had a flea all year. Let's end with a healing ritual, a goddess energy healing ritual. So you cross your hands on your heart. Just breathe into the palms of your hands and hold them in front of your face and breathe into your palms and then hold them out to the world and let that energy go wherever it is. Wherever it decides to go, it's sentient. It has a lot of places it can go in the world, including into the hearts of the loved ones that you know who are also grieving. Then close your, cross your palms again on your heart. Breathe into your heart. Breathe into the palms of your hand again. And then put your palms, cross your palms back again on your heart. And that's bringing that energy back into your heart. So whenever you need a lift, whenever you're grieving, whenever you're missing a loved one, as we all do, again, remember, love is worth it. And do this energy technique, bring love back into your heart. Thank you for joining me today, and we'll see you again next week.